When you realize that you serve a living Father, and our purpose in this earth is to be able to work the majestic plan that He has placed in our spirit. Inside of us is a spiritual DNA. And God was reminding me of this morning, that you know, there's distinctly three parts to each of us. Very distinct parts. Our spirit, our soul, and our body. And it began to press into my heart, the eternal aspect of my spirit and its beginnings having its roots with Him. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet to the nations. Before he was actually entering his mother's womb, already everything was already there for him to become that which he was called to become. And I remember when he began to show me what he wanted out of me, and how it was against my flesh, my body, my mind, which is my soul, my will, didn't want to go there, another aspect of my soul, my emotions, didn't want to go there either, which is another aspect of my soul. So he was reminding me that my soul and my flesh are in agreement. But those two agreements hold me in a pattern of self-destruction. But if I tap into my inner man, especially after I'm born again, I can begin to believe that God has a plan that is so awesome and so gigantic that it'll outshine the enemy's plan to destroy and self-destruct what is in the earth and placed there by God for me to grow up and mature. I saw a vision of a plate with water in it, so I brought it. And I said to the Lord, what do you want that for? And what I got was, so you can wash your hands of the old patterns that you think are so intent on completing a mission to satisfy your soul, mind, will, and emotions, and to satisfy your flesh, all the things that feel good. Because those are temporal. See, the scripture says, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that I have the mind of Christ. The mind of the anointing, or the mind of the anointed, will transform me and you from a natural being and a natural outlook to a spiritual outlook. From a natural 60 to 80 year old, maybe 90 or 100 year old, to an eternal being. And the last person that wants you to know that is the enemy. He doesn't want you to realize about your eternal plan or God's eternal plan, what He wants from you, how you will be adapted to the cloud of witnesses, how you will be a part of the Christ nature in God. And I can remember when God began to say to me, you've got to change your mind about who you are. And stop being so focused on these next 30 years, or 40 years, or 70 years, or 80 years, or even 100 years. be focused on the eternities that are to come. And the transformation that he's trying to get his creation to adapt to. And you know what? It's not something that you're going to be able to do on your own. And in a few minutes, I'll share a scripture that'll show you that. So would you bow your head with me? Say, Lord Jesus, today, I've got to wash my hands of all my old plans. The plans of the natural man need to be washed away. And the plans of my inner man, my spirit man, they need to come to life. And I need to be able to see what God wants to do in me and do through me for eternity. For eternity. I am an eternal being. Born again of the Spirit of God. Never to die. But fully alive. For eternity. That has to become a reality. Not all this fluff about my flesh. And all this fluff about my mind. And what I think is so right. And what Papa said and Mama said. The teacher said. The doctor said. The attorney said. The judge said. I need to see what God has focused me and placed in me for eternity. Yes, I'm an eternal being. And I'm living in an earth suit. Having emotional problems. But getting over it. Through the mind of Christ. Thank you, Lord. And as an example to all of you, I take this water and I say, Lord, cleanse my mind and my mindsets. Wash away that which was of old. Don't let it be a part of me any further. Let me walk away from this altar with a new mindset. Let me walk away with the blood of the Lamb covering my old attitude. For I declare this to be the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I break this bread. And I say to all of you and myself too, he was broken for me. So that I would come to fullness of life. And so I take it and break it and declare it to be the bread of life. He sustained a generation for 40 years in the desert with manna that brought life to them. But you know what? They never came out of their natural brain. All of them, except for two, entered the promised land. Which promised land was it? They entered the promised land of death, which is what they were focused on. Two were focused on their eternal destiny, Joshua and Caleb. And they almost killed them. Somebody's trying to kill you. Get a clue. The inner part of you, the inner man inside of you, needs to be fed by the body and blood of Jesus Christ. That's the manna that I come to, and I come with you to sustain my inner man with his flesh, because he declared his flesh to be real food. He said with his blood is real drink. For whom? For the inner man. It is a spiritual reality. It's not an argument about, oh, it should be this, it should be that. It's a spiritual reality that we need revelation of. And to hold on to it with dear understanding that our God chose to lay out his son and then give him to us so we could feed on him. The scripture I want to take you to is in 1 Peter chapter 5. And 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 in the Amplified. So, Father, without you confirming this word, we're just going to have words. But when your Spirit takes a hold of this word, the reality of your abilities will become a truth to us. In Jesus' name. Verse 10 says, and I'm reading the Amplified, after you have suffered a little while. How many like the suffering part? I don't know anybody who does. But St. Peter is really saying to the church, after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who imparts all blessings and favor, who has called you to his own eternal glory. Notice eternal glory. Eternal, not carnal, not fleshy, not just a few weeks, not just a few years, not just a few centuries. Eternal means eternal. In Christ Jesus, you're not going to be outside of the anointing of Christ when you're in eternity. Kind of cool, huh? Will himself complete and make you what you ought to be. Will himself, not you. How many can see retirement written all over this verse? Yes? Now, how many of you have ever tried to scrub yourself clean? Yeah. It doesn't work. Make you what you ought to be, establish and ground you securely, and strengthen and settle you. Who's going to do the work? Jesus is. And you know, when I read this verse, I have a picture of a young man that I see a few times a week in the past few months. He's been part of the Y, and I see him standing underneath the shower spout, scrubbing and scrubbing and scrubbing and scrubbing, shaving and shaving and shaving, and every single time I see him, he's trying to clean himself up. And I said to the Lord, I'd love to minister to this man. And he doesn't speak a word of English. And all I've been able to do is to try to build him up a little bit and say hi to him. And that's about all I can do. But guess what? I have another young man that's Spanish. And God has allowed me to minister to this young man. And I said to him this past week, I said, you see that other young man over there? He says, yeah. He says, I tried to work with him a little bit. I said, he needs to hear what's in your heart and what you've learned. And he says, can you tell me why he's scrubbing so hard? I says, yes, I can. He's trying to scrape off the garbage that was done to him. I said, I don't know what kind of garbage. I don't know who did the garbage. It doesn't matter who did it. What is important is he's trying to scrape it off and it won't work. You know why? Because anybody who's received different types of abuse, what they end up doing is they're trying to scrape it off. I've seen young ladies and young men take razor blades and cut themselves open because of abuse. They're trying to cut out the garbage. I'd love to put the scripture in his heart. Verse 10 again. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who imparts all blessings and favor. Now this young man needs what? Blessings, and he needs favor. Amen? Who has called you to his own eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself complete and make this young man what he ought to be, establish and ground him up securely, and strengthen him, and settle him inside. I'd love to be able to put this word in him, but you know what? I can't do it. There's a language problem, and that's okay. Am I trying to be a savior to this man? No, just an intercessor. Just one that picks him up, and when I see his face, just to say a prayer for him. Until the Holy Spirit has completed something inside of him that needs to be done in order for him to taste of the goodness of Christ. So he won't be focused on his old mindsets, but be focused on an eternal glory that is to be shared, because Jesus gave himself up on a tree that we might live for eternity. You know, seeing people suffer is the beginning of ministry. Seeing people in pain and hardship is the beginning of ministry. Because instead of being focused on number one and how painful my situation is, I am now beginning to see more and more what God has actually put me here for. Not just for me, it's for those that he shows me. How many have had a few of those patterns that have hit them? Seeing a child and they're walking in a certain way, and you know that child has great need of great love and great mercy because of the pain that they've been in. Can you put your hand up? What do you do? You begin to say, okay, God, what is my role? What is my job? And you begin to intercede and ask God for grace for that person and the favor of God. And that's the beginning of the body ministry working in you. Could be an elderly person and you have them in your heart. I remember we had one lady that used to watch the news, and she'd get all bent out of shape because God would just focus her on one aspect of the news. And she'd say, oh, I want everybody to pray for this particular thing. And I said, praise God, because that's the beginning of ministry. Your heart isn't on self. Your heart is not on what you think and what you believe and what you want. But it is to protect the people in the earth. Well, I don't know. Why did God do that to me? Did you ever ask why God did that to you? Because he's transforming you from a natural being to an eternal being. Let's back it up a little bit. Chapter 4, verse 16. But if, the Amplified says, one is ill-treated and suffers as a Christian, which he is contemptuously called, let him not be ashamed, but give glory to God that he is deemed worthy to suffer in his name. 17. For the time has arrived for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the end of those who do not respect and believe or obey the good news, the gospel of God? And if the righteous are barely saved, what will become of the godless and the wicked? Therefore, those who are ill-treated and suffer in accordance with God's will, in accordance with God's will, must do right, and commit their souls, mind, will, and emotions, in charge as a deposit to the one who created them and will never fail them, and will never fail them. So there is a season that, yes, you might be insulted for the name's sake. There is a season that you will be able to see that the judgment against the darkness that's inside of the household of God begins to bring judgment upon the body of Christ, because God wants to clean it up, because that's His love. And it'll enter your house, and it'll enter your family. And God will allow harsh things to be exposed in order for what? For you to begin to intercede. How many have seen family situations that you don't like seeing? What's the purpose? What is the actual purpose of that failure to come? It's because God is saying, look, I want you to pray. I want you to intercede. As you intercede, God will begin to change whose heart? Yours. And as He's changing my heart, then He'll work on the other one as well. And guess what? He knows how to kill two birds with one stone. The negative force in you and the negative force in the other. Might be two ugly birds that He's killing. It's okay. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Verse 19, therefore those who are ill-treated and suffer in accordance with God's will must do right and commit their souls to the one who created them and will never fail them. See, there's a season that God says, I'm going to test. You won't like it, but it is to definitely purify you and me. Okay? Chapter 5, verse 1. I warn and counsel elders among you, and pastors and spiritual guides of the church, as a fellow elder and as an evangelist or eyewitness. Which one do you like? I like both. Call to testify of the suffering of Christ, as well as sharers in the glory, the honor and splendor that is to be revealed, disclosed and unfolded. Tend, nurture, guard, guide, fold the flock of God. That is your responsibility. You mean me? Yes. Not by coercion or constraint, but willingly, not dishonorably, motivated by advantages and profits belonging to the office, but eagerly and cheerfully. Not as arrogant, dictatorial, and overbearing person, domineering over those in your charge, but being examples, patterns, and models of Christian living to the flock. You know, nobody talks about those who are controlling and using their office or their position for their own advantage. Peter had to see it in his day. Otherwise, he wouldn't be able to write this. Maybe Peter saw himself being used in a negative way. Maybe now he's learned to help his brothers. How many remember Jesus having a problem with Peter? Yeah, do you love me, Peter? Yeah, right. As long as I speak your language, do what you want. Right? Okay. Verse 4. And then when the chief shepherd is revealed, you will win and conquer the crown of glory. Isn't that cool? When the chief shepherd is revealed, where is he going to be revealed?
Inside
of you and me. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
When you see the anointing begin to break the way that you used to respond to a certain negative response, and you begin to see, oh my God, I'm not responding like I used to. Oh my God, I'm not where I used to be. I'm not who I used to be. I am different. Why? Because the chief shepherd has definitely shepherded your soul. Your mind, will, and emotions have transformed into something eternal versus something carnal and of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
How many know this is good stuff? It's good stuff because it's showing you that every single one of us fall apart. Every single one of us has got weak points. Every single one of us has a sin nature. Every single one of us has a body that demands its own way. Please say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Is it hopeless?
No.
Absolutely not. How many have ever gotten disgusted with themselves? Because you just did something absolutely stupid. And you know that it's stupid, but you had no power to change it. Study Romans 7. You'll see that St. Paul is a mature man. You know, a lot of times we used to think, in fact, I used to think, I shouldn't say we. I used to think that St. Paul, when he was writing this letter, was talking from a perspective of a child in Christ. But he was a mature man. He was writing to the Romans. Did you ever read the whole letter? I mean, that is an intense letter. Okay? And as a mature man writing, there's very parts of me that have their own way, and I hate it, I can't stand it, but Christ in me is changing me. Romans 8:1. So there's hope for us. You know, I can remember when I was first born again and filled with the Spirit, that whole season of looking at what God was doing. And I was so awed at the ability of God. And then I would look at the failure in some of these people who would testify. And they'd say, I was this and I was that. And some people would say, how could God use such a horrible background? Okay? But you know what? It helped me to know that they had overcome. It helped me that their weakness was a part of their past, not a longer an oppressive way of happening and pulling that person to the degree that they can't be in the body of Christ. So whatever happens to a person when they testify of their failure or of their weakness, St. Paul says in one aspect of his letters, I believe it's to the Corinthians, where he says, I will boast of my weaknesses. Well, now there goes a real comment. I will boast of my weaknesses. Why? Do you ever wonder why he would boast of his weaknesses? To give someone else some hope. To give someone else a real eyeful that look what Jesus has done with me. Okay? Verse 5. 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, you who are younger and of lesser rank, be subject to the elders, the ministers, the spiritual guides of the church, giving them due respect and yielding to their counsel. Clothe, apron yourselves, all of you, with humility, as the garb of a servant, so that its covering cannot possibly be stripped from you, with freedom from pride. Woo-hoo! There's the problem in the church. And there's the problem in most families. And arrogance towards one another. For God sets himself against the proud. Ha ha. God sets himself against the proud, the insolent, the overbearing, the disdainful, the presumptuous, the boastful, and opposes and frustrates and defeats them, but gives grace, favor, and blessing to the humble. Looking at this, you can see what he's trying to change us from proud and arrogant, insolent, overbearing, disdainful, presumptuous, boastful, oppresses, opposes, and frustrates them. But gives grace and favor and blessings to the humble. It's confirmed in Proverbs 3:34. Therefore, humble yourself, demote, lower yourself in your own estimation. Wow. Now that's a mouthful. Who is he trying to change? Me. The one who's reading this is the one that should be gaining from it. Under the mighty hand of God, and in due time, he may exalt you. It doesn't say he will. In the Amplified, he says he may exalt you, depending on the timing. He may lift you up. He may bring miracles through you. He may bring awesome, awesome abundance through you. To whom? To the ones that he's chosen for you to supply to. That's going to be the way that he's going to work inside the house of Christ. The house of anointed people. Okay? Verse 7, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concern, once and for all on yourself so you can fix it. No. Those of you who are reading your Bible, you're not in agreement, right? But you know what? That's how I was brought up. Get yourself in gear and fix it, Kim. Look at the mess you created. And you know what? I believed it. And I struggled to fix it. I remember, this is an absolute truth. I remember having done a sin. And of course, every Friday we had to go to confession. Now, those of you who went to Catholic school, you know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
So I am lining myself up in line to go to confession. We had the boys on one side and the girls on the other. And you had to, you know, say your penance at the altar rail. At my sin, in my estimation, I was probably, I don't know, 12. I'm not even sure of the age. 12. 11, 12, 13, somewhere in there. And my sin, according to me, was so huge that I was going to have to do penance for at least 20 minutes. So I'm so full of fear as I'm waiting in line. So then this bright thought comes in. Okay? You don't want to be looked at by all the other kids if you've got this long penance. So what are you going to do? So I made the decision even before I went into the confessional. Okay, that I was going to make a part of my penance at the altar rail and skip and go out and play and finish it later. I was going to fix it. I wasn't going to be embarrassed. There was no pride there. No arrogance. Right? Nobody's going to look down on this kid. After all, I'm equal. Okay? So obviously I went into the confessional and the pastor heard what I had to say, and of course he didn't get bent out of shape like I was. And I think he gave me 3 Hail Marys, and I went to the altar rail and 3 Hail Marys, and glory be, and I think there was an Our Father in there. Of course, it didn't take more than a few seconds. Boy, what a relief. I was no longer exposed. Think it's God? Do you think it's God? Did God use it? Yes, he did. You see, when I got up from the altar rail, I had felt God had given me some mercy. He had given me favor because he knew how to protect me from being looked at with a scornful eye. Because you know who was looking at every one of the kids was the sister superior in the back pew. And she just might have had a different opinion than the pastor. Because she knew the kids better than the pastor did. What am I saying to you? Cleaning my own act up was part of my training. However, it was a beginning of a walk with Christ. Did I have a humble heart? Absolutely not. I didn't have a humble heart. I was as proud as a peacock. Verse 7, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on Him. For He cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Be well balanced. Whew, that's a real word. Be well balanced. Temperate, sober-minded, be vigilant and cautious at all times, for that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion, roaring in fierce hunger. I like that part. Seeking someone to seize upon and devour. Withstand him. Be firm in faith against his onsets. Rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined, knowing that the same sufferings are appointed to the brotherhood. Did you hear that? You're not alone. The whole of the body of Christians throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while. Now, I can remember saying to the Lord, what is a little while with you compared to me? A little while can be 20 years. Can be 10 years. Can be 10 minutes. It's up to the Lord to discern which one it is with you. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who imparts all blessings and favor, who has called you to his own eternal glory, and I stress again, to his own eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself complete and make you what you ought to be, established and ground you securely and strengthen and settle you. To him be dominion, power, authority, and rule forever and ever. Amen. Now that word is going to change you if you ask him to come in and take over. If you try to clean yourself up, he'll let you struggle. If you think you can do it on your own, I got news for you. You'll fail. What causes me to really see the real me? I must remember that I am three parts, spirit, soul, and body. My spirit is the internal part of me. It had existence with God. It will return to God to be judged, then released to future existence in a cloud of witnesses. You'll find that in Hebrews, I believe, chapter 11. It needs rebirth. And Jesus is the only way to give you that rebirth. God so loved the world, he created. And he gave up his son that I might be born again. My soul starts at birth in the earth. It will resemble my mom and dad. It'll resemble Adam and Eve. And it learns and does what it learns in the flesh realm. And it can choose. It has free will. Romans 6:16 says, to whom I submit to, I will serve and be a slave to. Have I been a slave to my flesh? Yes. Will I continue that? It's up to me. My body started in birth in the earth. Resembles mom and dad, like Adam and Eve. Learns and does what is in Adam and Eve, and reacts like them, and does as it pleases when it feels good. Sin inside of me controls and pulls and does whatever it wants, Romans 7, which is what I shared with you. And my hope is in Romans 8:1. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He gave me that as I gloried in his weakness. I gloried in my weaknesses because I learned that through my weaknesses I could overcome them. St. Paul was not afraid to speak about, I can't do it on my own. I need your prayers, saints. I need your prayers. Close your eyes, please. Put your right hand over your heart. Say, I am comforted by reality that I am an eternal being. I'm under construction by the Son of the Most High. He is perfecting me. He is pouring favor and grace inside of me. And there's a household of faith called the Church of the Living God. And they are praying and interceding for me. And I will be completed in the image of Christ. There's no other way. Thank you, Jesus, for recreating hope in me. And I will obey to pray for those you show me. Amen. Would you stand, please?